All right, man. Okay, good evening once again, everyone, and welcome to another session of the conference call. This evening, our topic will be entitled The Lost Day of History. The Lost, L-O-S-T, Day of History. But before we begin, we'd like to offer a word of prayer so that we can have the direction of the Holy Spirit. So let us pray. Our kind of loving Father, we just thank you for the Bible and your words and your spirit. We ask now that as we're about to study together, that you will teach us and help us to tell this message to everyone that needs to hear it so that you can come and take us home, I pray, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lost Day of History. And tonight we're going to be looking at another controversial issue in the world today, the Sabbath. The Sabbath, it is one of the most misunderstood and controversial issues in the world today. And so we are going to look at what the scripture says about the Sabbath. The first question I want to ask is, on what day did Jesus customarily worship?
Alicia, here's my Bible.
On what day did Jesus customarily worship?
On Saturday.
Yes, on Saturday. We're going to turn our Bible to Luke 4 and verse 16.
That was a lie. Luke 4.
Luke chapter 4 and verse 16. And when you find it, you can say amen.
Amen.
All right. And I'll read for you. The Bible says, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. So Jesus, when he was on the earth, his customary worship day was Sabbath. The Sabbath day of rest. But that brings us to another question, you know. Yes, we're talking about the Sabbath, but which day of the week is the Sabbath day? And we have a lot of, this is the big question right here. And it could be any day. Some people say it could be any day. Some people say it doesn't matter. And all of these things. But,
and nowadays, they are saying it's Sunday.
Yes, they are saying it's Sunday.
Lately, I've been hearing them say Sunday.
Right, but which day is the Sabbath?
Saturday.
The seventh day of the week.
Right.
All right. we get that from Exodus 20 and verses 10. And it says, the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord God. The seventh day. The problem is that before the days were named, they were numbered.
Right.
1, 2, 3,
day
4,
one,
5.
Day 2, day 3.
3, day 4. As a matter of fact, in Genesis, when you read in Genesis, it says, and the morning and the evening were the first day.
Yes.
And the second day. And the third day. And so, after the days were named, were numbered, they were given names.
Yes.
All right? Mm-hmm. And the names were given to reflect the days.
Uh-huh.
Okay? That is why it is very important that you give good names to your children. What I mean? Because the name reflects the individual, and similarly, the name reflects the day.
Mm-hmm.
The word Sabbath means rest. And it was given to the seventh day. If you look in the dictionary, it will tell you that. If you look in the Bible, it will tell you that. And so,
where exactly? Where exactly? Where you see that the seventh day is the Sabbath?
Hello?
Hello?
I'm so sorry. Who is this speaking? Which one?
Right now?
First of all, I need to know the two gentlemen's names.
I'm John.
Oh, good night, John.
How are you?
Okay, this is Lorraine.
Hey, welcome back.
Sirius.
And you are who?
Sirius.
Sirius?
Yes, Sirius.
Okay. Okay, good. So it's John and Sirius.
Yes.
Okay, good.
All right. I just want to take everybody back to Genesis just to establish how we know which day is the seventh day of the week and which day would be called the Sabbath. Let's look at Genesis chapter 1, I believe.
Yes, sir.
All right. Serious guy, you can read it from there.
All right, Genesis chapter 1 and... Matter of fact, let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Let's see what that says. Genesis chapter 2 and verses 2.
Okay.
The Bible says this: and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. And God, verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made.
Okay.
So here it is, you see that the seventh day is the day that God rested from his work.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And this is from the beginning. Christ did not, God did not stop working because he was tired.
Right.
A lot of people, and it's a question, why did God rest on the seventh, on the Sabbath day? Alright?
Mm-hmm.
He did not rest because he was tired. He rested so that you and I would know that God is the creator of heaven and earth. And so that, and we can, ourselves, we can have a rest, a week. Literally, the Sabbath was made for man.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah. Serious?
So God...
I just wanted to stop you for a second, because I wanted to establish how we know which day is Sabbath, which day is the seventh day. From Genesis chapter 2, verse 3, we see that God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it.
Yeah.
Okay? And that's the day when he rested from all his work which he had made. So we know that if any day is going to be blessed, it's going to be the seventh day of the week. Now, the Jews kept strict records of time. And originally, like Sirius said before, the days were without numbers. Some were without, names, so they used to name them by numbers. So you would have the first day, the second day, the third day, and then the seventh, all the way down to the seventh day. Next, does anybody have a calendar nearby?
Yes.
What day does the week start with? The very first...
Sunday.
Exactly.
Sunday. Mm-hmm.
And then it ends with what day?
Saturday.
Right. So according to the calendar, we see that the first day of the week is actually Sunday, and the last day of the week, the seventh day of the week, is Saturday. Now, don't get that confused with the first work day, because a lot of people will say, well, Monday is the first day of the week, but Monday is actually not the first day of the week. It's the second, but Monday is usually the first day of the working week.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially if you're a teacher like I am, we go to work from Monday to Friday, and then we have Saturdays and Sundays off.
Right.
So if you ask a teacher, they might say that Sunday is the seventh day of the week, but really, Sunday is the first day of the week.
Right, exactly.
The Jews also kept strict records of time, and they have been keeping the Sabbath, since their whole religion started.
Wow.
So we see that the Sabbath day is actually from sundown Friday to sundown Saturday. It's not just Saturday. It's sundown Friday to sundown Saturday.
Right.
As the scripture says, from even unto even shall ye celebrate your Sabbath.
Yes.
So for the Jews, a day began and ended at sundown.
Okay.
All right. And to note on a calendar, on most calendars, you will notice on Sundays the numbers are different. It has a different color. All of the other days have the regular color, and Sunday has that special mark that was placed there to signify that this is where it starts.
Oh, are you coming?
Yeah. Yeah. Most of them have that. You know.
Just kidding.
So, just to add to what John said, Sunday is the first, is the beginning of the week, and the Sabbath ends, and that is why God ended His work on the seventh day.
Mm-hmm.
So the Sabbath, the seventh day of the week, is the Sabbath.
Yeah.
You're gonna hear a lot about. Go ahead.
No, just to add to the importance of the day, I mean, when Christ died, and when He died on Friday, He even rested on the seventh day. So that goes to show that the seventh day is pretty much very important, because He could have risen up on Sabbath if it wasn't such an important time. But, you know, He rested on the tomb, and he rose on the first day. So just to add to what everyone is saying, you know, the seventh day is very important, and even Christ acknowledged that in His death. So
I think
we need to make a note of that as well.
Oh yeah, sure. I forgot about that. We know that people usually celebrate Easter Sunday because it's the Sunday when Christ had rose from the grave. So if we know that He rose on Sunday and that He was crucified on Friday and He was in the grave on the Sabbath, then the Sabbath has to be what day? Saturday, or sundown Friday to sundown Saturday evening.
Another thing with people, when you ask what day is the Sabbath, a lot of people say Sunday, and then you ask them why do you think it's Sunday, and they said they celebrate Sunday because that is the day when Christ rose.
Rose, yeah.
But we see in Scripture that there's no Scripture in the Bible supports that we should worship God. People should worship Him on a day that He rose.
That's right.
Okay?
Yes.
It says, on the seventh day, you shall do no work.
That's right.
And that's taken from Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. That's the whole Sabbath commandment.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
And so we don't need to worship Christ on the day that He was resurrected to signify or to glorify Him on that day and, you know, celebrate it. Because God had already said that this is the Sabbath.
Yeah.
All right?
I just want to clear up something real quick before you read it. I wouldn't say to somebody that we can't worship on Sunday, but I will say that Sunday is not the day that God sanctified. God sanctified the seventh day of the week. Realistically, we can worship God any day of the week we want. However, there's a special set-aside time when we're required to come before God and to worship Him, and He has a certain nearness and closeness to us that we'll see from the Scripture on this particular day, because He sanctified it.
So let me ask you something. Does the Scripture that says they worship me in vain, is he trying to say that they worship me in vain on Sunday?
No, because the fact is, there can be a lot of people who will go to heaven and have never kept the Sabbath. So, however, that doesn't mean that we don't have to keep it.
Wait a minute, you have to back up there.
I will.
That was one of my, because I heard my pastor said the very same thing that you said.
Mm-hmm.
And I was sitting in the sanctuary, and I'm like, how could she say that when the Bible says, to remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. That's a commandment.
Right. Let me explain what I mean.
How is it that people who's keeping it on Sunday
mm-hmm.
gonna go to heaven? Aren't they disobeying? And isn't disobeying a sin?
Let me explain. If you do it...
Come to that question, right?
Please explain.
Sure. If you do it willfully, in Hosea chapter 6, it says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Okay, so if you know the truth about something and you willingly disobey God, then that's when you are in danger. However, the Bible also says, their ignorance God winked at. So when you don't know something, then you can't be held accountable for it because you didn't know. And, you know, God can wink at your ignorance because if you had known, you would have obeyed. But because you didn't know or because you were deceived or, you know, whatever the case may be, it's a different story. But if you've been brought light and you willfully reject light, then that is when you are in danger of condemnation. To give you an example from the Scripture, Jesus said to about the Pharisees that if he had not come among them doing the works that he did, they would have had no sin. But because he was among them doing the works that he did, they are condemned. Okay? And the reason why he said that was because when he came to them and brought them truth and they rejected it, that's what made it sin. But if he hadn't come unto them, and they would have never have known what truth was, and then you couldn't hold them accountable because they didn't know. So that's why I say that a lot of people who go to church on Sunday, you know, they don't have to be afraid that they're going to hell for it. Rather, if they've been brought light, but they reject the light, that's another story.
Now, what if I was to witness to someone that goes to church on Sunday and I'm telling them about the Sabbath and they reject that?
Well, it depends on the reason why they reject it. If you...
Are they in trouble because they didn't understand it, or are they in trouble because... How could I put this?
If they haven't been brought it... I understand what you're saying. If they haven't been brought the truth in a way that they can understand, comprehend, and be convicted by it,
mm-hmm.
they still don't know. However,
okay.
if they know the truth,
yes.
if they're convinced that everything you're saying is correct, but for whatever reason, be it money, be it you know, being afraid to lose your congregation, or whatever the case may be, that they reject the truth, that is what gets them in danger. Because they reject knowledge, God also rejects them. So, we can't get confused that a lot of people, regardless of the day that they go to church, can still make it to heaven, but that does not mean that the Sabbath is not a requirement, and it is a requirement, and when you know that requirement, you are expected to keep that requirement. So the light about the Sabbath is going to all the world, you know, just as the three angels' message says the gospel is being brought to every nation, every kindred, every tongue. So everybody will be without excuse, especially when the National Sunday Law is passed. That's something that we can get into in prophecy, but there will be a time when we have to choose between God's Sabbath or man's Sabbath.
Yes.
And at that point, it will become a sin to worship on Sunday because everybody will have had a chance to know the truth, and then we will have to choose whose commandments they're going to obey. And that's why Jesus said, "In vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men."
Yes.
And just to back it up with a further point, we can worship God on any day. Now stay with me, okay? There's a difference between when we come together just to worship God and when we come together for the Sabbath, okay? If you had morning, did anybody have morning devotion today?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so you guys worship God on a Monday, correct?
Yes.
Because if you have morning devotion, you worship God on Monday.
Mm-hmm.
So is everybody here, including me, going to hell because we worship God on Monday?
No.
No, that's not
right. Is anybody planning on having devotion tomorrow morning?
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, praise the Lord. Me too. All right, so are we going to hell because we worship God on Tuesday?
No.
No. It kind of reminds me of that song, "I'm Glad I've Got That Old-Time Religion," and everybody stands up on different days. So the truth is that we can worship God on any day. However, there's a special time. Hello.
Good night.
How are you?
Good.
How are you?
Hi. Good.
Okay. We were just talking about worship, and I was just making the point that we can worship God on any day of the week. However, there's a special set-aside time for a specific type of worship on the Sabbath. Okay, so we can worship God Monday all the way through Sunday, but on the Sabbath, it's a special set aside time that God sanctified in that day for a special purpose. So the Sabbath is a special time to worship, and it requires a certain reverence, more so than any other day.
Okay.
So if somebody goes to church on Sunday, let's say for a prayer meeting or for whatever the case may be, maybe even a concert, there's no sin in that in and of itself. The sin is when you reject the Sabbath and you try to make another day and transfer the reverence of Sabbath to that day.
Okay, now here is a twist. This morning, actually this afternoon, I was here in my home. And I used to visit a Sunday church. I go on Saturday, but sometimes I can't make it on Saturday all the way to Brooklyn. So a young lady, you know, talking about where she goes to church on Sunday, and I've been visiting, and I love the people, and the people love me, but I have withheld myself from going there specifically because they worship on Sunday, because even 2 weeks ago, the pastor asked me how was my leg, and I said, well, you know, I can go up the stairs, but I need help because my left leg was broken in the accident.
Mm-hmm.
So, when I got off the phone, I said to myself, I'm not going to that church. You know, I love the people and everything, but I don't think I should be going to that church. And I don't think I should be tithing in that church either, because they are Sunday worshipers. And I know that Saturday is the Sabbath. So for me to go, that is a sin against God. Also, I want to throw this in here, there before you say anything. I went to their home before I had the car accident. And the evangelist was saying to me that she has a stove and she was trying to key in the number, or she was trying to key in something electronically, and she saw the word Sabbath come up. And I wanted to say to her,
hello, Elaine?
Hello?
She must have gotten cut off. You there? I think we lost her. I'm sure she'll come back in.
Okay. So did you hear what I was saying?
Yeah, I heard it. Most of it. Then you got kind of cut off at the end.
Yeah, she was saying to me that, you know, my house is blessed because she was trying to put the time back into the electronic clock on the stove. And she said, the word Sabbath came up. And she said, no. She said, Lorraine, no matter how I try to, like, put the time in, it just wouldn't, that word Sabbath would not come off the stove. And I wanted to say to her, do you know that this is this and that is that, and God said this and the word of God said this? But I didn't do that because, to me, I really didn't want to, like, insult her intelligence, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So it's so ironic how we're talking about the Sabbath now, and you're saying that people who worship. And then I was here today, and I'm thinking, and I'm saying to myself, you know, boy, I would really like to go and visit those people in the church, you know, because, you know, I know they really love me and whatnot, have you. And then I said, and something said go, but then I said, no, I can't because they worship on Sunday. Am I wrong?
Okay. I'm going to say that you are partially wrong and partially correct. And let me break down how. God has his followers in every church. Because there are some people who, if they had known the truth, they honestly would follow it. And they have to be brought that light and given a chance to accept or reject that truth. Okay? Now, if you're asking me, is attending or showing up at a Sunday church wrong? I would say to you, in and of itself, no, until the Sunday law passes. To give you a few examples, one of my best friends had a wedding, you know, or, you know, there have been times that I've been invited to, my uncle's actually a Presbyterian pastor in the city, so if he invited me to go to church for a service or, you know, to hear him preach or something, I would not turn him down. However, if you're saying, when you start talking about paying tithe and actually joining the church, that's another story, because now when you join the church, you're agreeing to their doctrines and what they teach is truth.
Right.
So as far as joining a Sunday church is concerned, that I would disagree with because of the fact that if you join, that means that you adhere to their doctrine.
Yes.
Now, there are a lot of different things that separate those who believe in Sabbath keeping from those who do not, besides just the Sabbath itself.
Mm-hmm.
So for doctrinal reasons, I would not join that church. But as far as showing up, like if you happen to have a concert or something like that, I don't see any sin in that just because it's a Sunday. Because all of us would have devotion on Sunday morning. And matter of fact, you know, I go to a church in which we attend on Sabbath, but, you know, there are times when they have Pathfinder meeting on Sundays and other types of services on Sundays also. So does that mean that we shouldn't go to church at all just because it's a Sunday? No. So the thing is, when you you're dealing with the issue of the Sabbath, you have to be very delicate with people, because you don't want to give them the idea that just because they go to church on a certain day, that's what's going to send them to hell.
Right.
Because that's not true.
Yeah.
The issue with the Sabbath is worship. Because when you know that God requires you to come before Him on the Sabbath day, and you try to transfer the solemnity of the Sabbath to another day that God did not sanctify, it becomes an issue. So it's not just about the day of worship. It's not just about like what day you go to church, but rather it's about the sanctification of that day and how we commune with God.
Well, I wasn't going to join the church because they did want me to join. I mean, Sunday upon Sunday, they pulled out a chair and they were singing a song. And I know this evangelist woman because she came and she told me, and I know she wants me so badly. But I said, thank God. Yes, she wanted me to. I mean, every Sunday they put out the chair and they sing this song, "Come in the house. You, brethren, you are welcome. Come in the..." And I, her eyes are what? And everybody's watching me. And, I mean, it's a beautiful atmosphere and the whole nine yards. But I know what is in my heart. And I know what's been sealed in my mind.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I when I say tithes, I mean like... I don't mean like to say give them tithes because I joined. But like, you know, if I'm there and I give... I like, they'll, you know, they ask for orphan and they ask for tithes. Those are the two things that I stuck out on. I said, no, I'm not going to pay tithes. I will give offering, but I'm not going to pay the tithes, and I just cannot. And I believe I have, I even said that I wanted to tell the pastor, because I know they're probably wondering, why is it that Lorraine will not join our church? And one day I said to myself, you know what, I'm going to really have to tell these people that I love you guys, and I love being around you guys, but I'm already a member of a church, and I worship on the Sabbath, and I just can't give my allegiance, to be honest to you, to worship, becoming a member of worshiping with you guys every Sunday, you know?
Right. I would definitely say that, and I think that would be the right attitude to take towards it.
Yes.
I
really miss them, and I really was saying to myself today, man, I should really go and just, you know, go say hello to them one Sunday, and then something says, you should go. And I was literally saying to myself, I wonder if that was God or that was the devil. Because
well,
I'm still looking at the fact that it's Sunday and I'm not supposed to worship on Sunday because it's not the day that God says we should worship on. You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Right.
As we get deeper into this study tonight, you're going to start to see where the controversy with the Sunday issue comes in. You know, because it's not the, you know, I've been invited to concerts on a Sunday, and, you know, I have no quorums about going. It's just a matter of the solemnity of the Sabbath, and we're going to get into what that means. Go ahead, Sirius.
Just to make a comment on Lorraine, you remind me of an old-time Seventh-day Adventist woman named Rachel Oakes. She was very passionate about the Sabbath, and the situation that you described was the very situation that she experienced years ago when the Seventh Adventist movement, the Sabbath movement, began.
Uh-huh.
And we'll get into that another time, but it just clicked to me, you know, you started talking about the Sabbath, you know, the conviction, the voice and everything. It was reminded me of Rachel Oakes so much. Anyway.
You know, I used to worship on Sunday. I am from a Sunday church, but the Lord was the one when I was a young girl that actually brought me into the Sabbath. I didn't know of the Sabbath. I from a baby in Jamaica all the way to England, all the way to America, I was worshiping on Sunday.
And that's why it's quite funny, because Rachel Oakes was a Sunday worshiper before she started talking about the Sabbath, before she became convinced with the Sabbath. That is why it was so striking. It was like everything that you just described was like almost the exact situation that she went through. She wanted to tell the pastor about the Sabbath. He was preaching a sermon one time, and she wanted to tell the pastor about the Sabbath and all that kind of stuff. So it just brought memories back to me.
Seriously, I think somebody else had a question.
Yeah, go ahead.
I was just listening to you talking, but at the same time, I used to use a Seventh-day Adventist, and I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. And you were talking about how you attended the church on Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think it's wrong. Like, personally, you go there. You know you have your God. You're not worshiping whatever God they worship with. You know? And at the same time, as you said, they love you. Mm-hmm. You know, if they really love you, that's your time to be, like, you know, sharing the real God's worth to them. Because obviously, if you tell the lady that comes to you that asks you about the Sabbath, that's the time right there. You could have just ministered to her. Because maybe she asked you because she probably think that you know something about the Sabbath. That's the time for you to open for them. Just because that you don't be afraid if they're gonna there's something that's gonna be changed against between them and you. Mm-hmm. That's it. You could minister to the whole church. Because I had somebody that stood up. I went to a church and somebody stood up and gave a testimony like that. And instead of them turning their back on them, the whole church turned around and become a Seventh-day Adventist member.
Wow.
Yeah, powerful.
I was moved upon to really say anything to her because, first of all, she didn't ask me a question. She was talking and saying in her house she saw the word Sabbath. And I wanted to be careful how I would come out at her by saying, oh, well, you know, God say that we are supposed to worship on Saturday and Saturday alone. I didn't have the words. I didn't feel that was my place at that time to explain to her about, you know, why she saw the word Sabbath up there. So I just said, Lord, you will reveal this to her if this is what she needs to know.
Right.
And that's okay. Because sometimes you got to be very careful how you come out at people. And maybe at the time, I probably wouldn't have said it not right, but I just feel that
correct.
It's not
right.
The time to say anything to her.
Okay.
So what I've been really doing is just living as an example.
Mm-hmm.
By being a Sabbath keeper. But like I said, when I go to the church, I know that they want me to come and join. They don't know. I've never really said to them, well, you know, I mean, I've told them that I worship on Saturday. I got up and testified, and I said, well, you know, my church is in Brooklyn. My name is Lorraine, and I go, I worship on Saturday, you know, the Sabbath day, and blah, 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 blah. And I left it at that.
I mean, you know, the thing is, when it comes to ministering to people, you have to allow the Lord to speak to you, because what will happen is that you will find that some people will come and tell you for Sabbath, and it would not minister, it would not register, but what you have done, you have planted a seed, and some person from, I don't know where else, some other person might come and minister to you.
Yes.
And that person might be responsible for actually bringing more light. You know what I mean? So sometimes when you tell people about the Sabbath and they don't accept it or whatever the case is, it's not that you didn't do your work or you didn't do anything, but maybe you that was just your part. Because I can testify that I've told a lot of people about the Sabbath or whatever the case is, and some of them were not as receptive to it, and some of them were like, whoa!
Yes.
Well, I would also throw into that. I would also throw into that you have to be careful how you tell people about the Sabbath, because a lot of Sabbath keepers, there are other people besides Adventists who are Sabbath keepers, by the way, like, you know, the Seventh-day Baptists and so on and so forth. But a lot of Sabbath keepers tend to come across as very condemning and very judgmental, where it's like, well, we keep the Sabbath, but, oh yeah, well, what about the other nine commandments? So, you know, we have to be careful about how we approach people with the Sabbath. And that's why I wanted to make it clear before we move on that it's not the fact that somebody goes to a church on Sunday that puts them in danger, but rather the fact that they reject the solemnity of God's true Sabbath, the fact that it's sanctified and that he hallowed the Sabbath day.
All right. So that's the whole thing. And the Sabbath has a special blessing in it. The Lord says, and the Bible says, and sanctify it.
Yes.
And so there's a special blessing in the Sabbath for us that we will not get on any other day.
Right.
All right?
And the scripture for that is Genesis 1, verse 1 and 2 verse 2, and also 3. So Genesis 1, 1, and then chapter 2, verse 2 and 3.
Okay.
All right.
I think we're on number 4.
Yes, because it's three covenants. What does God say about Sabbath keeping in the Ten Commandments, which he wrote with his own finger? What does God say about Sabbath keeping in the Ten Commandments? Now let's go to the Ten Commandments, and we're gonna look at Exodus chapter 20.
Okay.
And we're gonna look at verses 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, and when you guys get, you can say not amen. Let me see. I'll find something
got
out.
It. You got it.
All right, got it. You say got it. Okay, good.
Exodus 20 verses
8 through 11. This is the Sabbath commandment.
Sister Shan, you want to read for us?
Oh, sure. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. For the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor that stranger that is within thy gate. It's very interesting that this is the only commandment that says remember. The one about adultery, remember. The one about honoring your parents and say remember. That's very interesting why it says remember. So that goes to show that God knew from the get-go that people were going to forget about his commandment. And for the fact that it's so important, he re-emphasized the fact that we got to remember it. So I think that's something we need to make a note of as well.
I think we need to just kind of break down this commandment and look at what it's really saying. Okay, let's start with the beginning. Remember the Sabbath day. Well, first of all, the Ten Commandments were what God wrote with his finger. Okay? And we also know that what was the biggest treasure for Israel? Like the most prized possession.
The Ark of the Covenant.
Absolutely. And what was inside the Ark of the Covenant?
The Ten Commandments.
Right. So the most precious possession for Israel was not just the box, the Ark itself, but rather the stones that were inside the box, which were the Ten Commandments. So basically what that's saying is that the pride of Israel was the law of God. Okay? And as the scripture says, all thy commandments are righteousness.
Wow.
So the Ten Commandments are all about righteousness, and God is love, and we know that God is righteous, so love equates to righteousness.
Yes.
Okay? So let's look at the commandment and break down what it's actually saying. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. So the Sabbath day, first of all, is supposed to be kept holy. 6 days
right.
Shalt thou labor. Hold on. First of all, what does holy mean?
I was just going to ask you that, you know, because I look at it as, okay, holy.
All right, let me get some people that were a little bit less talking of a chance to answer. What do you guys think out there?
Intelligent mind thinking out there.
Show reverence.
Okay, show reverence. Any other comments out there?
Pureness.
Because we know God's character is holy.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, holiness got to be something that's pure, something that's true, something that's very much close to the character of God.
Let's stick with the word pure that you used. Holy means to be set apart. It's kind of the same thing as sanctification. So when you sanctify something, you set it apart. So something that's holy is pure. It's something that's set apart. And, it's like untouchable. It's like completely different from everything else. For example, if you have a husband or a wife, and, that person should have a holy relationship with you in the sense that nobody else has that kind of relationship with you. Okay? So holiness has to do with set apartness. And God is holy because, as the scripture says, I am the Lord thy God, there is none like me. So God is holy because there is none like him. And he's set apart. He's different. And the best way to give it one word, it's special. So remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy or to keep it special. That means that it has to have pureness. It has to have reverence because you're setting it apart from any other day. So that shows us that on the Sabbath day, we can't treat it like it is every other day. We have to give it a special treatment, a special reverence. Next part of it. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. Okay, so there it says that on the Sabbath we don't do any work, and we don't allow anybody else to do any other work. Okay, because it's easy to say, well, I'm not working, but, you know, I'm going into McDonald's, I'm going to get me a cheeseburger. Okay, but then if you get that cheeseburger, you're causing your manservant or your maidservant to work. Okay? So there is to be no work done by you or someone you hire or someone who you would pay to do any work. Okay? Because the Lord wants to set this day aside. He wants it to be different. Next part of the verse. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So there is basically saying that because, originally it was saying in the verses preceding that we are not to do any work on the Sabbath. And then the next part of the scripture gives the reason why. For, or because, in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested on the seventh day. So the reason why we are not to work is because the Lord made the earth in 6 days, and he took a day of rest. Not because he got tired, like Sirius said before, but rather because he wanted to enjoy his creation. I mean, you ever work hard for something, and then you just want to kind of sit back and enjoy what you made? You know, or like, you know, you cook a big meal, and before you just eat it and go to work on it, you want to sit and look at it and, you know, just admire what you did. So the seventh day, God did not rest because he was tired, but rather he just took a break to enjoy what he did.
Okay.
Right? And that means that on the seventh day, it's a memorial of creation, where God takes time to enjoy his creation, to enjoy the fellowship with his creation. And the creation, in turn, should want fellowship with God. So the Sabbath is actually a memorial of creation in which God comes a step closer to his creation, and his creation should take a step closer to God. Not that we don't worship God every other day of the week, but on this particular day, it's a special celebration that commemorates the fact that God is creator. Because, mind you, it says, for in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth. Right there in that part of the verse, it's showing us that God is our creator. And the reason why we're celebrating the Sabbath, the reason why we have to remember the Sabbath, is because the Lord made the heaven and the earth, the sea, and all that in them is. So because God is creator, that's why the Sabbath has to be kept holy. It's a memorial of the fact that he is the creator, and he is God. And that's why it says, wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. All right, and there are only two things in Scripture that ever get hallowed. God's name, hallowed be thy name, and the Sabbath. For the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
And that is why, and just to add to that, that is why the Sabbath is very important to the Lord. And it is very important to us as well. And it's a very important part of the commandments. A lot of people would say that Sabbath keepers tend to go overboard with the Sabbath. But the thing is that the Sabbath is very important to the Lord. You know what I mean? Because he rested, and it's like John said before, it's a memorial. It's a sign between, as we will see in Isaiah chapter 20, it's a sign between us and him. That's what the Sabbath is. Right? So definitely he hallowed it, and it's a blessing in there for us. That we wouldn't be able to get on any other date.
I want to throw out a question out there. based on what we just read in the commandment, all that I just read was in Exodus 20 verses 8 to 11 that talks about the Sabbath commandment. Is the Sabbath Sunday question about what day you go to church? And I want to hear from our guests, what do you guys think? Because a lot of people say, well, is God really going to judge me based on what day I go to church? I mean, is that really what it's about? Is the Sabbath Sunday question about what day you go to church based on Exodus 20?
Actually, hello?
Mm-hmm.
Actually, it does matter, because if you really read the Bible, it actually break it down to you. And there's some of us out there, it's not the fact that we don't know Saturday is the Sabbath. It's the fact that we want to go and do whatever we want to do.
Mm-hmm. Let me rephrase the question.
We should take that off your mouth.
I would rephrase it by saying, is the Sabbath just about church attendance?
No. No.
Well, what's it about then?
If you really put your mind into it, it's what God was creating. It's all about the creation and what God did.
Okay, so if you're going to say that the Sabbath is all about God's creation, is it possible to attend church every single Sabbath, but yet not keep the Sabbath?
Yes, it is possible, because you could be going to church and your body, physically you're in the church, but mentally you're not there. You know, and it's also not really important about church attendance, because one of my friends, his name is Travis, he doesn't go to church that much. He says that he always tells me that just because I don't go to church doesn't mean I'm keeping the Sabbath. And, you know, I never really ask why, but because I understand. It's just because you're just doing exactly what God is telling you to do. You're keeping the Sabbath because you're not working. You're in the right mindset. You're not watching TV or anything. You can just be sitting there reading the Bible or doing what you... I mean, doing something that's just, or just watching something on 3ABN or something like that. I mean, it doesn't matter about, I mean, it's not, it is important to go to church, but it's not, like the main thing to go to church, because as long as you're keeping the Sabbath, you are keeping.
I'm going to get you in some trouble here. Everybody turn to Leviticus 23, verse 3.
Like you always do. Get me into trouble. Okay.
Leviticus 23, verse 3.
Always
Sister Shan, would you take that one? And this text might be something you might want to show your friend Travis.
If you don't know who the person is. Leviticus what?
Leviticus 23, verse 3.
Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus.
I know. Okay.
You guys have it?
Yeah. The 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh is the Sabbath of solemn rest, the holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings.
Okay. What is the meaning of the word convocation?
I was hoping you'd tell me that.
Okay. Anybody ever want to take a stab at it? Convocation.
Okay. That was the vegetation.
Okay. According to the according to the Strong's, another way to translate the word convocation could be a public meeting, also a rehearsal, assembly, calling, convocation. So basically, a convocation is a holy meeting or a holy assembling of God's people. And we discussed before that the word holy means to set apart, to make special. So it's a special meeting and a special coming together of God's people. In other words, it's church. So 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of rest, a holy convocation or a holy assembling of God's people. So church actually is a requirement of the Sabbath. And to back that up further, we can turn to, I think it's in Timothy, where it talks about how it is a sin to forsake the assembling of God's people. I'm going to give you guys a scripture for that right now.
But then, doesn't it say, well, wanted to work Sabbath,
in the name, in
finish your point, please.
Where wanted to work Sabbath, the Holy Spirit.
I know what you're talking about. You're talking about the scripture that says where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst?
Yeah, there you go, yeah.
Okay.
So if you're at home, right, and you're with your family watching 3 AM, close the door. If you're at 3 AM or something, I mean, isn't that an assembly?
Alright, well,
cool. You're like, together still?
I'll touch that question in 1 second.
It is the people.
Mm-hmm.
So it doesn't matter. I mean, like, that's something. It's come on. Without the people, there is no. So the church is not the building. It is the people. If you're in your house, in your living room, worshiping and watching something that's church-wise or related to God, can't that be a church? Can't that be that in assembly that you're talking about? That setting apart?
Well, I'm going to answer that question in 1 second, but first I'm going to back it up with a scripture. If you look at Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, it says, "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching." Okay? So what that scripture is telling us is that we cannot forsake the assembling of God's people. So, if you're sick and you're home on the Sabbath day watching 3 AM with your family because maybe it's a snow day, maybe everybody in your family is sick, and for whatever reason you cannot make it to church, that's another story. However, when you willfully forsake the assembling of God's people, coming together in a setting of worship to give praise and honor to God, it would be a sin if you do it on purpose. And the reason why, and even if you look at the Old Testament scriptures, every time the Sabbath came, all of God's people were required to meet at the temple. And we see how even Jesus, as his custom was, and as we see in Luke 4, verse 16, and he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for it to read. So every Sabbath, Jesus was not in his living room with his family, but rather he was in the synagogue with God's people. So we see that it would be sinful to forsake the assembling, the big assembling of God's people. However, if there are circumstances that bar you from making it to that assembly, that is when you can apply the scripture that says, "Where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there in the midst." Because when the time of trouble comes, there will not be church buildings to meet. Another fact that we can throw in is it does not have to be an actual church building. What if we all meet up in an assembly hall? Or what if we rent out a stadium or something like that and we have church service there? That place is just as much the church as the actual church building. However, we cannot make an excuse for not attending Sabbath services by staying at home and watching 3 ABN on purpose.
And just to add to that, we're social beings. And this is the reason why Christ gives us the command to worship together. Because number one, if we stay home and watch 3 ABN, we will gain that interaction. We will not gain that blessing from going to church. There is a blessing. There is a blessing that comes with interacting with other people. When you see people in front of you, when you as the scripture said, when you come together as a convocation, you get a blessing. There's a word that somebody might minister to you in church that you wouldn't hear on 3 ABN, in person. And so sometimes the convocation becomes personal. I'm not saying that you cannot be ministered to on 3ABN, because 3ABN will or can minister to you. But when it comes to coming to church personally, you know, there is something about that that is just a blessing.
Right. And 3ABN was not ever put together to replace Sabbath service. Rather, it was put together in mind that there would be people who can't make it to church who still need to be blessed on the Sabbath. So they put the program together so that those people could be blessed. It was never intended to replace Sabbath services. All right, so is that clear, Jessica?
No. Really, whenever... there are certain churches that... Okay, the churches around you. Since you are, like, a type of person, the church is going to treat you a certain way. So maybe it's better for you to worship, like, at home with your family because of the way the church looks at you. Because, you know, like, it's also, I don't want to say psychologically.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
I understand.
But where is the chapter and verse on that? Are there any scriptures that say it's okay to forsake the assembling of God's people because you don't like the church members?
That's not forsaking it if you're assembling with your family. I mean, if you can receive a blessing from sitting under a tree and worshiping God, why not sit with your family at home and worship God also?
Because the scripture says that we are not to forsake the assembling.
In front of 3AB, you're having your own worship service also. You could be having your own devotion and all that kind of stuff, and receive the same blessing that you did if you go to a church.
Well, I see what you're saying, but the scripture talks about how the Sabbath is supposed to be a holy convocation, and those holy assemblies were not gatherings of two or three people, but rather it was the assembling of all Israel together. So the commandment itself is telling us that, according to the scriptures, we must assemble in large numbers with God's people. So it is assembling not just a family, but an assembling of all God's people.
If it's not a large number, what are you going to do after that? You have to stick with your two or three.
Well, there's a difference between when there is no large number available. It is an assembling of all of God's people together, as many as can come. So, you know, if there were two or three people left in Israel, and they were the only ones who could assemble to worship God, that would be one thing. But when you have an entire congregation, everybody cannot be home in separate homes worshiping God instead of coming to church for that holy assembly. And when we get to heaven, we're all going to have to assemble together, because there will not be separate temples and everybody will have to worship God in separate places. Rather, we're all going to come together to God's holy mountain and worship Him together as one body. And as the scripture says, the body is of Christ. We are all one body. Can the eye say to the hand, I have no need of you? So everybody is needed in the church, and everybody is required to come together and to worship at church.
Okay.
And do you know the meaning of the word church? The meaning of the word church comes from the word ecclesia, which means called out ones. So if we're called out, where are we called out to?
Church?
Not just a church, but rather we're called out as Christians to come together and to worship God, all together as one assembly. If we're all in separate places and we're not one group, we are not giving God the kind of glory and honor that He wants. And if you turn to Acts chapter 2, you'll see how at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit did not come upon the people until they were assembled and put away all their differences. I'm going to read it. Everybody turn to Acts chapter 2. When you have it, say amen. Acts chapter 2. And starting at verse 1. All right. Lily, you still there?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Aisha, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here.
But Acts chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire, and as it sat upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues, as the Spirit gave them utterance. So the Holy Spirit did not come upon God's people until they were, first of all, of one accord, and second of all, in one place. God, the whole reason why we have church is so that the wheat and the tares can grow together until the time of the harvest. If God's people cannot learn to put away their differences and to come together as one accord, the Holy Spirit, the latter rain, will never fall on us. That is the whole purpose of church. First of all, because the sick need a physician, we're there because we're sinful, we're guilty, and we need to be cleaned up. And second of all, because God wishes to give us His Spirit and to bring us into one accord. God is not separate families. God is one family, and we are all a part of His family. So we need to be able to come together as one accord and in one place.
I want to ask you a question. Do you feel the same? And I know where you're going with this, because I can understand. Okay, we've all had our moments where we discover, and I believe that the Lord will lead you to the truth. I believe you're a sincere person in terms of what you want to find out. Do you feel the same way when you sit at home and watch 3ABN, as opposed to when you are, okay, do you feel the same way when you go to church and worship among your brethren, as opposed to when you stay home and watch 3ABN with your family?
Well, I never said I did it, but, you know, I was just saying,
yeah. Okay. All right, now there's a scripture that I'm going to share with you now, and it's taken from Isaiah 66, right? The Lord taught us how to pray like this. It says, "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." Okay?
Uh-huh.
And this is what Isaiah chapter 66 and verses 23. You want to turn there with me, you can turn in your Bibles. Isaiah 66 and verses 23. Just to add to what John said, they need to be in one place. The Holy Spirit did not come upon them until they were in one place and in one accord.
This
one? Alright? It was not Paul in Antioch and Peter in Damascus and all over the place. Alright? It says this, "And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, shall all flesh come before me to worship." So it is not just so whenever the angels come before God to worship, it is not some here and some there. All of them come before the Lord and worship together.
Amen.
And that is exactly why it is important for us to do what is to follow the pattern on earth, because when we get to heaven, we will be me and you and John and Natalie and Aisha and Lorraine, and all of us are going to be together. I don't know who's going to be singing tenor. I don't know who's going to be singing soprano.
Not me.
I don't know who's going to be singing bass. But we're going to be together, and we're going to be praising the Lord.
Amen.
All
and,
right?
You know, it's very important that we understand this concept, because the devil is out to separate and to divide. Because if he gets people discouraged in the church, like they're so afraid of coming to church because they're afraid of what somebody might say about them, how somebody might treat them, if somebody might look at them the wrong way or spread a rumor about them, then what he's doing is he's dividing the church and preventing the church from coming together as one accord. And that's the devil's mission. If the devil can divide the church, then he prevents the Holy Spirit from working with certain people so that God's end time message can be sent out and that people can be saved. So what he does is he puts devices, foolishness really, between people so that they forsake they forsake God's gathering, and they don't get the blessings that they're supposed to get. And he deceives us by making us think, oh, well, you know, I can keep the Sabbath at home watching TV, or I can, you know, I can just be out in nature by myself, and that's keeping the Sabbath. And it's really not. It's all getting into the devil's lie of, you know, we don't need to come together. We're going to forsake the assembling of God's people because I don't like these people. And if we can't get it together down here, how are we supposed to get it together up there? It's going to be the same people that go to heaven and are going to worship God. So we might as well get used to them down here.
And just to add to what John is saying, there's a saying that says this, unity is strength. When we come together, we gather strength from each other. Okay? And that is exactly another reason why God is telling us here that we need to gather together. Because when we stand together, there's more power, there's more praise, there's more of everything, and the devil needs to work 5 times harder.
Amen. I got a good analogy for you guys. When you go to the zoo, you ever see them put the tigers and the lambs together?
No.
No. Because what would happen if they did?
Eat the lambs.
Yeah. You know, you ever see them put lions and tigers together? Conflict of interest, you know, they wouldn't be able to get along. But yet, we see, if you look in Genesis chapter 6, how when after Noah built the ark, the animals went 2 by 2 into the ark. And, you know, you imagine like a long line of animals just coming into the ark, and once they were actually inside the ark, they weren't fighting each other. So the ark was a place in Noah's time where all the animals were together, and they were saved from the, you know, from the storm when the great flood took place. And I hate to say this, but a lot of times, sometimes us people in the church, we're like those animals, where there are different animals that just don't get along, just like there are different people that don't get along. You don't mix the tigers with the lambs, you don't mix the lions with the sheep, or with the goats, because there's going to be problems. But yet, while they were on that ark, they had to learn to get along. And as Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be in the days of the Son of Man. So just like those animals had to learn to get along on that ark to be saved during the flood, we got to learn how to get along, because our ark is the church.
Amen to that. And to add to that too, let's say one of us or all of us have a job. The job pays well. The job pays about $400,000 a year. Would you quit your job because somebody doesn't like the way you work? Would you quit that job? Would you quit a job, right, that you pay, you went to school for and everything, and you're getting paid $400,000 a year? Would you quit that job because somebody says, I don't like you? Nope. You wouldn't quit. Even though people will be coming to you and saying different things to you, you know what, I don't like how you do this, you would get discouraged, but you would not quit. All right? And that's the same thing with the church. You know, the church is, the devil, like John said before, the devil is there to destroy the church, to divide the church. And if the church is divided, then it will fall. And that's why it's important for us to come together. All right? And it's similar. There are people that are going to be telling you this and telling you that and whatever the case is. And that's the devil coming at you to try to get you to leave the church. Because once if the devil can get you alone, then that's all he wants. You know what I mean? There's a saying that no man is an island. And what that saying means is that no man can stand on his own. Even Christ said that in John chapter 15 and verse 5. He says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you do not abide in me, if you abide in me and I in you, then you will bring forth much fruit. And so we need to come together and abide in Christ, and then we're going to bring forth fruit. Even though there's going to be all this criticism and this kind of stuff, we are not called to leave. If you're on the ship and the sea is rough, you don't jump off the ship because the sea is rough and it's not calm. You stick with the ship.
That's right. And you know, our ship is the church, and it's just that it goes back to the ark of Noah's time, where there might have been some things in that ark that didn't smell right, but when the storm hit, it was safer inside the ark than outside.
So be very careful with when you say you know, certain things, like I hear from a lot of people, you know, I don't go to church because the church have hypocrites and the church is this. The Lord is calling you to be in the church because it is not your church, it's the Lord's church. And he is the head. We are the people. Okay? And even though your brother don't like you, your sister don't like you, you are still called to be a church as one body, as John said before.
A holy convocation.
Regardless of the differences, a holy convocation. And you're always going to have problems in there because the devil is trying to separate the church. Let's move on.
All right, I just want to quote one final scripture from Matthew 13. He said unto them, an enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, wilt thou then go and gather them up? But he said, nay, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest, I will say unto the reapers, gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in a bundle to burn them, but gather the wheat into my barn. So we know that the harvest represents the end of the world, and the wheat represents the Christians, the true Christians, those who are followers of Christ, and the tares represent those who are not really followers of Christ. So we cannot separate the wheat and the tares until the time of the harvest, and the time of the harvest is the end of the world. Jesus said, let both grow together, not apart, not in separate places, but together, until the time of the harvest, or the end of the world.
Alright.
Just to that real quick, just add to what everybody just said just now. The whole purpose of the devil right now is to destroy the relationship we have with Christ. That's why we have so many issues about the Sabbath, about, like, in terms of going to church, and the Sabbath in terms of we stay home and watch television versus going to church. That's exactly the part of the devil's plan, just to deviate us from having a good relationship with God. And the thing about it is that a lot of us Christians, we fall into that trap, and we have so many issues when it comes to Sabbath worship. And that's exactly what the devil wants from us.
And just to add to that too, when we come to church, there are a lot of angels there singing and worshiping with us. I'm not saying that they're not angels in your house. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But in the house of the Lord, in the gathering, there are angels there. The angels are accompanying you to church in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And they're actually helping to frame your mind in terms of being more focused on the Sabbath, being more focused on the Lord. Because I can tell you the truth. I mean, if I stayed home from church to watch 3ABN, I'm going to get distracted with something else.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
And you know what I mean? And I, you know, consider myself a pretty focused person. I get distracted. If I go to church, then I find things to do. Like sometimes I go to church and I find myself, I get on the piano and I play hymns. You know what I mean? I sing. And it feels good. You know what I mean? It's like, it lifts your spirit. And when you're at home, it's like, you know, you get so comfortable, you don't really want to do those things, you don't really want to, you know what I mean? So, I mean, unless it's absolutely necessary that you stay at home to watch 3ABN or to do anything, It is better for us to come to church, because it's this is what the Lord requires of us, that we should come together. And when we come together, we get strength from each other to go on. All right. Let's continue really quickly.
All right, guys. I just want to say good night. I have to sign off.
Okay. Well, thanks for coming out.
Everybody have a good night.
You too.
You too.
All right. Bye-bye.
What haven't the Ten Commandments been changed? Have the Ten Commandments been changed? Let me ask a different question. Is it possible that the Ten Commandments can be changed?
The God we serve won't change his mind. I mean, if you write something in stone, that doesn't mean you're going to change it at any time soon. And God is not going to change that word like that.
Anybody else?
I say let's look at the scripture.
Definitely so. All right, let's take a look at Luke chapter 16 and verse 17. Luke chapter 16 and verse 17. And John, you can go ahead and read that scripture for us.
And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail.
Uh-huh. It is easier for heaven and earth to pass than for one tittle of the law to fail. What does that say about the Lord?
And this is, and by the way, this is Jesus himself speaking. It says basically that God's commandments, his ways, will not fail. It will not fail. Let's take a look at Psalms 89 and verse 34. Psalms 89 verses 34. And Jessica, would you like to read that for us?
Sure. Psalms 89 verse 34.
Yes.
My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips.
The Lord says here, I will not, my covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out of my lips. So when the Lord says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, he says here, it will not alter, meaning that it will not change. So from one new moon to the next, from eternity to eternity, it will not change, because this is God. The Bible says, God himself says, I am the Lord thy God, I change not. Alright? So when God says something, then it will not change, and therefore it is impossible for the Ten Commandments to be changed. A lot of people are of the opinion that the Ten Commandments were changed and have been changed, seeing that Christ came to the earth, and the Ten Commandments have been done away with, and that's the Old Testament teaching, and we need to look at the New Testament because we are under grace, and we're not under the law, and all that kind of stuff, as we discussed, and we went through that whole notion last night. But here it is, we see that the Lord does not change. Alright? And it's very important for us to know this. And the devil sometimes try to come to us and tell us things that are not consistent with Scripture. And it's very important that we study. And I like the fact that we're doing this Bible study and we're going through with the Sabbath. Because a lot of people are not aware of certain things, certain principles about God and about the Sabbath and about the law. And they're of the opinion that this can change and that can change and we're in a different time and as time changes, so is the commandment. No. Alright? The Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever the same. In Revelation chapter 1, the Lord says, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. From the beginning, he was the same, and the end, he is going to be the same. And so, the Ten Commandments will not be changed by God or nobody else. Alright?
Amen.
Are you with me so far?
Yeah.
Alright, good.
But there's nowhere in the Bible where he went back and said, you know what, I changed my mind, I don't think we should do the Ten Commandments anymore, let's do something else. There's nowhere in the Bible you can find that, you know?
Right.
Or has that impression that it's changed.
Alright. Did the apostles keep the Sabbath? Now, this is a question that is pretty much controversial in a lot of well-learned scholars, you know, they say that the apostles did, some say rather, that the apostles did not necessarily keep the Sabbath. Alright, and there are different schools of thought when it comes to the apostles keeping the Sabbath and all that kind of stuff. But let's take a look at Acts chapter 17 and verse 2. Acts chapter 17 and verses 2. Lorraine, would you like to read that for us, please?
I can't because I don't have light where I'm at.
Oh, you don't have light? Oh, no problem. Acts chapter 17 and verses 2. Well, in that case, I'll read it to you in that instead. It says this, and Paul, as his manner was, went into them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the scripture. measures. Alright? The reason with them out of the scriptures. Now here it is, we see that the apostle Paul did not just stick to himself, did not just stay to himself, did not just stay home or do whatever, but he went in, as the scripture says, as Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 days reasoned with them out of the scriptures. And this is when Paul was on his journey around after he was converted and all these kind of things. The Jews and the rabbis and the well-learned people, they still did not believe in certain things because they had their own idea, their own concept of what the commandments meant and all these kind of things. And they were not necessarily reading from the scriptures. That's why the Apostle Paul says in Romans 1, they do worship me in vain, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Because the commandments that they were telling the people about were not in consistent with scripture.
Just to give an example of one of them, you know how the Sabbath commandment says to us that we should not work on the Sabbath. Well, what they told people is that you weren't allowed to carry eggs on the Sabbath because if one broke, the sun would fry and that would be cooking on the Sabbath, and therefore work.
Something like that. And there's a whole lot of things, you know, people, not being able to turn the light switch on and not being able to bathe and all these different things, all right? And they made it seem impossible to keep these commandments because it was not about worship. It was about the day of itself, and it was about action, you know. Keeping the Sabbath holy to them was making sure that this is right and that is right and all that kind of stuff. But here it is, we've been discussing that we can do all the actions we want, we can make everything around us look holy, but if our minds are not there, it makes no sense. The Sabbath is about worship, it's a time that we reflect on God, and if we do not have the proper mind frame to worship Him, if we're not in that mind frame to worship Him, then we cannot enter into His rest. Alright? One more scripture before we move on. Acts chapter 16 and verse, Acts chapter 18 and verse 4. And it says this, and he, Paul, reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath. Alright? The apostles went into the synagogue every Sabbath and persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. Acts chapter 18 verse 4. So Paul, the apostle, who was responsible for writing almost two-thirds of the New Testament, went into the synagogue every Sabbath, the scripture says. Every Sabbath. And persuaded the Jews and the Greeks. He did not stay away. He went into the synagogue or the church. The synagogue is another way of saying the church or the place of worship. And so here, you know, just to bring back the importance of the convocation and the Sabbath, the apostles kept the Sabbath. Because as we read in Isaiah, what we do here on earth will be done in heaven.
That's right.
All right. Okay. Does anybody have any questions before we move on?
Well, we talked about. Well, I'll give somebody else a chance to ask. Go ahead. Let's do a quick room check. Who's still here?
I'm here.
I'm here!
Anybody else?
Anybody else? Lorraine, are you there?
I'm here. Lauren, not Noreen.
Huh?
Oh, I'm so good.
Alright. I'm going to throw out a trick question. We talked about how attendance at church is actually important on Sabbath. But is that the only thing that the Sabbath is about? The scripture tells us that the Sabbath is a memorial of creation, as we see in the commandment itself. It is a day that's set aside to worship God as creator. So part of keeping the Sabbath is also to get out into nature and to appreciate the creation that God made. So in addition to going to church and assembling with God's people to worship, we also want to take time to appreciate the creation by getting out into nature, by spending time with family, and by doing all those different things. Not excluding church, but including church, we do other things also.
Correct.
And it's possible to, if you get too caught up in the services, that you can lose the true blessing of the Sabbath. For example, like some churches, like let's say from 9 o'clock in the morning until about sundown in the evening, you know, you're having one service after another and one program after a program, and you're losing, you're just going to different programs and losing the whole blessing of the Sabbath because you never took time to get out into nature. So church attendance is required, but it's not the only portion of the Sabbath. It's also meant to appreciate nature and to get out and to experience it.
I remember one Sabbath I was out after the service, and I was basically observing. I was enjoying the sunshine, I was enjoying the wind and all that, and I saw some ants on the ground. And it was just so funny how the ants were communicating, you know, they were going in different directions. One line goes north and the next line goes south. And whenever they meet, they, touch their little antennas together and they keep it moving. And the next one they do the same thing or whatever the case is. And it was just nice to observe it. And then it just started making me think about, how the Lord made these little creatures. All things bright and beautiful, that's the song that came to mind. All things bright and beautiful, all creatures, great and small. All things bright and wonderful, the Lord God made them all. You know? And so nature is very, nature is a key part of the Sabbath, because it helps us to reflect on God. Somebody was saying something? Okay.
I have a question, but I don't think it's totally related to what you're saying now. Back in the Old Testament, someone broke the Sabbath, the penalty for that was death. Okay? So, was there a penalty for breaking the Sabbath in the New Testament, or even today?
Is there a penalty? There is not a physical... when you said when the people were put to death, meaning that they were stoned and this stuff by other people.
For breaking the Sabbath, yeah.
For breaking the Sabbath and for breaking not just the Sabbath, but any commandment. If you were caught in adultery and all that kind of stuff. All right? But in this day and age, there is a penalty for us not keeping the Sabbath. The Bible says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. So the penalty is not necessarily going to be coming from other men. It's not going to be coming from other men stoning us, but it is going to come in the form of something else. The Bible, in Revelation, it talks about how the angels are pouring out from the earth the wrath of the Lord, and that is when God's cup of indignation is being poured out onto the face of the earth, and it will be poured out in without measure. And the men who disobey the commandments, they will feel the consequences. We're talking about the sun turning seven times hotter and giving power to scorch men with fire. We're talking about stones falling from the heavens. You know what I mean? About the size or the weight of a talent, which we understand is about close to 100 pounds or 90-something pounds, something like that. And we're talking about all these different things. So ultimately, there will be penalty for people who are violating God's commandments. It is not going to be other men doing it, but the Lord himself will deliver the judgment. Does that make it clear?
I understand.
Alright. Okay, moving along. Let's jump ahead a little bit to a question.
I think we may have to summarize shortly, so...
Okay, okay, good, good, good.
Maybe we can continue this some other time, but
we definitely
one
will.
More point. Alright.
Let's look at 8. But wasn't the Sabbath changed to Sunday at Christ's death or resurrection? Was the Sabbath changed from Sabbath to Sunday, or Saturday to Sunday?
Definitely not. I mean, unless God changed it himself, and there's no record of God changing the Sabbath to Sunday in Scripture. And a lot of people try to use a scripture that says that Jesus rose on the first day of the week, but that does not transfer the solemnity of the Sabbath to Sunday. I've heard many churches say that because the reason why they worship on Sunday is because it was the resurrection day, that Jesus rose on Sunday, so therefore we should go to church on Sunday. But yet, just because the fact that the scripture records that Jesus rose on Sunday does not mean that Sunday is the Sabbath. To the contrary, every time when a Sabbath is introduced, God always announces it. For example, in Exodus 20, it says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, and it lists the commandment. When it talks about the feast day Sabbaths, which God instituted temporarily, you see in Leviticus 23 how God institutes and announces the fact that it's a day. I'm just going to go there real quick just to give you an example of what I mean. Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them concerning my feasts, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. And then he begins to list them. And then in Deuteronomy, it lists the same feast, and it says, this is a Sabbath in all your dwellings. Okay? So we see that Scripture will always announce a Sabbath if it's to be instituted. But there is no announcement of Sunday as a Sabbath anywhere in the scripture. So the question becomes, where did they get the idea that Sunday could be a Sabbath? Because it was never written in scripture.
And just to bring up again the scripture in Romans chapter 1, where Paul says, in vain do they, and he's talking about God, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. It is another one of the commandments of men, right here. We look at the two words and compare them. The word Sabbath is taken from the Hebrew word which is Sabbath. It means day of rest or rest. All right. Sunday. You notice that it has sun. The reason why it has the word sun in there is it signifies, it's symbolic of the start of something. Do you always, at the start of a new day, what comes up? The sun. If the sun doesn't go down when a day starts, it comes up. All
right.
And when we look in the resurrection of Christ, it says as it begins to dawn unto the first day. The dawn means as the sun was coming up. And so the word Sunday signifies the first day of the week, the beginning of the week. The Sunday, the day that the week begins. The word Sabbath is the day of rest. And that is how we again arrive at Christ's, at the 7 day as the Sabbath of the Lord. All right? And it does not change at his resurrection or his death. We established before that Christ does not change. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever will be the same. Alright?
Just to kind of wrap up, we can get into next class exactly how the Sabbath was changed to Sunday and what took place. Actually, the Sabbath wasn't changed to Sunday, but why people think it was, we'll get into that the next class and go into a little bit more detail about that. But I wanted to quote something from an article I have here. I did some research a while ago, and I found that in almost all other languages, they refer to Saturday as Sabbath. For example, if you look up the word Saturday in Spanish, what word is it?
Sábado.
Sábado.
Yep, sabado. Now, does that word sound like Saturday or Sabbath to you?
Sabbath.
Sabbath, right. If you look up the word Saturday in Italian, the word would be sabato. Now, does that word seem more like Saturday or Sabbath to you?
Sabbath.
Sabbath. So in most of these other languages, Italian, Spanish, Portuguese, and some others, we see that the word used for Saturday is actually Sabbath. So all other languages, with the exception of like English and maybe a few others, refer to Saturday as the Sabbath. And then the interesting thing is that I looked up the other languages, and Saturday comes from the word Saturn's Day, because that was the day when the Romans, I think, or the Greeks, worshipped their pagan god Saturn.
Yeah.
And when you look up the word Saturn in all the other languages, such as Spanish, the word Saturn is Saturno. In French, it's Saturne. In Italian, it's Saturno. In Portuguese, it's also Saturno. So, Saturn sounds nothing like Saba. So, if you were to say Saturday, wouldn't it make more sense to say Saturno or something like that?
Okay.
So we see that the translation of Saturday into other languages is actually not Saturday, but Sabbath day.
Okay.
And even in Greek, the same thing. It's got like a weird looking E, an A, two B's, A, T, O. But it's written differently than how our letters would spell it. In Russian, it's called Sibota.
Nice.
So, the two B's instead of the T show us that the word is more like Sabbath than it is Saturday. So in every other language, they refer to Saturday as the Sabbath, and only English refers to it as Saturn Day, which is the pagan holiday.
Right.
But originally, it was the Sabbath.
Yes, and go ahead.
Then there were God's chosen people. You know, they were God selected and now they were elected. But now, look at the day they worship. The Jews worship on Sunday today? No, they don't. They're worshiping on Saturday. So that will show us today that, you know what, the Jews are worshiping on Saturday. So there's some significance in that day that, you know what, you know, Mother decided to say that day is indeed
Sabbath day. And then when Christ was on earth, he was a Jew. That is why the Roman soldiers nailed him to the cross, they nailed a sign over his head saying, King of the Jews, because they were actually mocking him and making his name a mockery by asking him, who is he? I know, who is he and why is he here? Is he this person? Is he John the Baptist? And all these things, and they were laughing at him. They knew that he was the Son of God.
Right.
Some of them pretended that they didn't know, whatever the case is, because they wanted to get their own way. One, they wanted to be in favor with the public too, and so they did whatever they had to do. And then until after Christ died, the scripture says, as he gave up the ghost, or whatever the case is, the earth became dark. You know what I mean? The light was gone and all that kind of stuff happened. And some of them at that point began to really take the Son of God seriously.
Right.
You know what I mean? So here it is, you see that Jesus, when he was on earth, was a Jew, and it was Jesus himself who instituted the Jewish system.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Oh, he followed the Jewish system, yeah.
Exactly. And so it was, again, it was not changed. And it will not ever be changed by man or by God himself.
That's right. And then next class we'll get into exactly why people started going to church on Sunday and why they think that a change was instituted.
Right.
And we'll get into a lot more detail about that.
All right. So I guess this ends our session for this evening. Jessica, you there?
I guess she must have signed out.
Okay.
Yeah.
There she goes.
All right. I want to hear you, man. Lorraine, are you still there?
Yeah.
All right, okay. What happened to your voice? Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. And so we're going to dismiss our class by having a word of prayer. John, you want to do that on us for us?
Sure. Heavenly Father, we thank you for those who came out tonight to hear a word from you. Lord, we pray that not our words, but your word would stick with them and convict and convert. Lord, we pray that you would help us to honor your Sabbath and to remember the great things that you have done for us and to, most of all, celebrate your work of creation. Help us to acknowledge you as our God and our Savior and to come before you on that sanctified day and give you the reverence and honor that you deserve. Lord, we pray that we would use this week to prepare for that holy convocation where we can come together and celebrate the fact that you are our God and that we are your people. Forgive us of our sins, Lord, and bless everyone under the sound of my voice. And we pray that your word would be abiding in our hearts and that we would use the Sabbath not as a time when we can stay by ourselves or be secluded from your people, but rather come together and enjoy the one thing that we have in common, and that is that you are our God. Bless us, Lord, and create unity between us. Help us to be of one accord and to come together in one place that we may receive your Spirit. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Good night, everyone.
Let's go. Please do come again. Your presence was well felt here tonight. And Lorraine, as usual, your presence also was well felt tonight. So guys, please come again. We're going to continue this discussion on Saturday evening. Sabbath evening.
All the information in regards to the time and